Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today, on April 4th of 2024, I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast, Toonami Therapy, in which we talk about anime and other things, and sometimes even shows that air on Toonami. All right, we got a new show to go through. So, all right, let's get... We'll go with them in the order they air, as usual. So we start out with episode 8 of Ninja Kamui. Or was it Kamui? I think they said Kamui. I think that was it, actually. I just remember the way that I normally thought it was pronounced was wrong. So I have to say it the other way. Now, okay, so basically, they end... Okay, so I'll be honest, I found some parts of this episode kind of confusing. We got a bunch of information about, power plant stuff at the start, to the point that we were wondering, is this a different show?
Yeah, I asked that question.
Is it like Pop Team Epic, where it spent like the first minute or so making it think it was going to be some like romantic comedy idol anime before, you know, just turning into Pop Team Epic? You know, the preview things they always did at the end of each episode for that like romantic comedy anime, which they called like Hoshiro Girl Drop. That was pretty consistently the funniest part of that show. The fake previews for the episodes you never see. And then they stopped doing that in the second season, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Anyway, back to Ninja Kamui. Right. So they basically are trying to stop the bad guys, and we get into the big fight, and there's all that stuff. They do end up... I can never remember. If I remember their names right, the female, the FBI agent who was actually secretly a ninja, she's Asuka, and the other FBI guy, the black guy, that's Mike, right?
Yeah, I just call her Tomo-chan.
Okay. Well, basically, they finds out, yeah, she was a ninja. So they find he's annoyed, but then they're like, well, we got to work together. So that's my full of tangent synopsis of this episode.
What did you think of it?
I feel like after I watched it, I liked it, but now I'm thinking, eh, I guess it was okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just so fixated on how much that character looks like Tomo-chan that I was just like, all right, they're doing missions and stuff, and this seems to have nothing to do with getting revenge for his killed family. So, yeah, I guess par for the course, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember enjoying it more. So I at least feel like the show's kind of going in a better direction. It's still a series that really I feel just depends too much on the action and the plot being a little weak. But, you know, I'm more interested in it. I just have trouble explaining what actually happened. Mm-hmm. All right. So after that, we move on to the new show called Zom 100. All right, so basically in this episode, our opening episode, the main character gets an office job. But then it turns out it's like a super, exploitative one. Like, you know how, like, people, like, have the stereotype of the companies in Japan really exploiting? This one, like, is kind of like almost a parody in how much that is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but he still ends up working there for several years, and then a zombie apocalypse happens somehow, and he goes, oh, I don't have to go to work. And the fact that, because we need to stress this, he's been completely overworking himself for several years, not getting enough sleep. When he gets up, when finds out, just before he finds out about the zombie apocalypse, is like barely awake and is just trudging along. He presumably has been getting really no exercise during all this time, but he's able to run super fast and escape from all the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that works. Adrenaline, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, then he decides, after going through all that, well, you know, I guess with the world like this, I'll just make a, well, it's, you don't actually get to see it because it like only shows it for like, I don't know, 1 second before cutting to credits. But he basically decides to make a list of all the things he wants to do in life. And yeah, that's the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a dark humor type of show. Unfortunately, I didn't find it too funny, but found it kind of predictable. But yeah, I'm not sure how much they can do with this concept. Like they're going to have to, I don't know. It just, to me, it feels like this concept's going to get old pretty quick, so they're going to have to be very creative to make this worthwhile. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not it's, I actually had already seen this episode. I watched it when it originally aired, and I thought it was okay, but not great. I know some vague spoilers about later stuff, but nothing specific. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. It is one of those series where, of course, the big twist is zombies, but I mean, it's called Zom 100. What are you expecting? I am kind of wondering. So we got the zombie apocalypse, and maybe this will be given later, but what exactly made some people turn into zombies and others not? He's like, because he didn't become one. Do they have to bite you? Did a bunch of people just suddenly turn into zombies? Because it seemed like it was a lot of people. Oh, and by the way, I also mentioned, and the other weird thing, I mentioned obviously he has to be out of shape, but he's still able to push a really big zombie through the window. So I don't know where all that strength comes from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, that's this. This didn't really do much. Other than establish the premise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say probably an average score for the week for that. Not bad, but nothing special. That's what I think about it. But okay, that's only one episode, and obviously it has two more episodes to win me over, so... Of course, since we're watching Toonami, I don't really get to bail out after three episodes, do I?
Well, we'll see. After that, we've got Licorice Recoil, episode 11. So basically, hang on, I'm just trying to make sure. Was this the episode where... my problem is I'm trying to remember, was this episode or the previous one? Was this the one where Majima basically, you know, when he's on all the TVs and stuff, mentions a licorice and says, hey, it's these girls who are dressed like this. And then everyone notices him. Okay, that was this episode. Okay, I was wondering, was this the previous episode? Okay, so we get that basically... so he does that to expose them. Meanwhile, and he also managed to, you know, to show people footage of them after they killed a bunch of people, you know, to expose that. Meanwhile, Chisato is trying to rescue, what's his name? And ends up getting into a shootout with Majima. And she's able to defend herself using what is in that like purse of hers, because it's something super hard because it deflects all the bullets
or magical.
Anyway, so they're like that. She seems to be losing after Majima turns out the light, which prevents her abilities. But then Takina shows up and turns the light back on to help her. So, well, more like she just like bursts a hole through the wall to do it. Yeah,
bursts a hole through that.
It would have been funny if she had literally just flicked the light switch and that was it. I will say this one series, I did always find this one part there. I did like the part, you probably forgot about it, but I in World Trigger, where there's this enemy who has this gas, they're inside this building and the enemy has this gas based attack. So his opponent just turns the air conditioning on to blow it away. I like that. Anyway, so that was Licorice Recoil. This episode was pretty fun, I thought.
I thought this was a better episode than at least the last few have been. So, yeah, pretty good.
Okay. So, after that, we've got One Piece, episode 659. So, it's a flashback episode. Now, in a lot of shows, having the big flashback means someone's about to die. But this is One Piece. It actually means that that someone's going to die in the flashback. Basically, what we find out is that the former king of Dressrosa, well, he was king. Then Doflamingo shows up and says, "Hey, man, I want to take over Dressrosa. But if you give me how much did you want? 10 billion berries. That was it." He says, "You need to give me 10 billion berries by tomorrow morning, or else I'll take it over, and, you know, I'm really strong and stuff." So he's like, "Okay, I got to get the money somehow." So all the soldiers go out to try to get to ask the people for it. But what do you know? They have so much trust in their king that they're willing to give him all their money for it, even though he can't tell them why. But then it turns out, oh no, this was all Doflamingo was actually setting this up to, make bad stuff happen, because he uses his powers to manipulate the soldiers and the king into going and attacking and killing people. And the weird thing is, during all this, they don't, like, you'd think they say it a few times, but I think you would just kind of be shouting, "Hey, help, I can't control myself, get away from me," so that people would know that. Because you know, like, how this is going to play out. Everyone's going to think, "Oh, the king, he was all evil and it's killing people." And if they had at least tried to say it, maybe some of the people got away would have been, "Okay, he's being controlled," or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really confusing. It was like they're having their bodies controlled, but it was like they could still talk. So why not say, help me, you know, I'm not meaning to do this. I'm being controlled, yeah, you know?
That's the thing. Some of them did mention that, but I feel they should have been much more outright with it, because some of them is like, instead of doing it, they're like, you know, they're doing it, and they're just like, "Oh no, what's going on?" It felt like they really should have been trying to push that harder, because again, the result of this, we know, is that everyone hates the king because he got framed. But maybe if you had at least tried to tell people what was going on while this was happening, people might have believed you better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's basically the episode. It's the flashback, and the flashback is actually not done yet, so...
Yeah, I said it was going to finish with 15 seconds left, and I was wrong. It didn't finish at all. So, thinking about it now, it sounds a lot funnier than I remember it being. It's stupid funny, you know, unintentionally funny. Yeah, so I guess it has its own charm to it, even though it wasn't a great episode.
Yeah, so let's see, we didn't watch Naruto, so we'll get on to that's our stuff for the Toonami stuff then. Let me just double check right quick. Did they say anything about have they announced anything about replacement for? No, I don't think they've announced any replacement for Licorice Recoil yet.
When is that in?
I think we've got 2 episodes left. Let me double check. Yes, we've got 2 episodes left.
If you were to guess, just make a guess, what do you think they would put on there? You've been right before.
Let me think about this. Okay. It's not going to be something that's licensed by Crunchyroll unless it's something they previously showed. That's something that's definitely the case. I'm not saying it can't be on Crunchyroll, but just not licensed by them. Let's see. Bleach is the thing that I might want to mention, but that hasn't been on there yet. And I'm going to guess that probably it won't go there until they actually finish like it completely would be my guess. Okay. I'm not sure about that. If I wasn't going to say Bleach, this is a tricky one just because because of the fact that I would almost wonder about if it was a few weeks later, I might actually think we might get My Hero Academia because a new season is premiering soon. But at the same time, I don't think they have the dub ready by that point. So I'm going to. I'm still just trying to think a little about it. Okay, screw it. I'm going to throw out Undead Unluck. That's my guess. I can't think of anything better offhand. It's on Hulu rather than like Crunchyroll or any thing. It's a shonen action series that which would be the sort of thing they would show, and it did air kind of recently. If I had to throw out a guess, that would be it.
Okay. I never heard of it before right now, so I'm looking it up to try to figure out what it is just in case it does get picked.
I honestly don't think that'll be the case. I mean, I would have never guessed Zom 100. I would not have. I only threw that one out just because I was trying to think of some recent action series. I heard that the anime had a lot of problem with a lot of almost One Piece style padding in which they would have very lengthy recaps. So I wasn't super interested in it, but that is something that I definitely heard about it. I would honestly, if I had to guess something, probably something from High Dive or Sentai Film Works. But I guess though that would be like if I had to throw out something, because anything I say is going to be a total guess. There's too many things I don't know. That will be my guess. That's the best thing I can think of offhand. Mm-hmm. All right. So, do you have any guesses? Do you want to throw something?
I'm just going to go with Bleach and see what happens.
It's okay. Maybe we'll get Eminence in Shadow or even Dark Gathering. That would be weird.
It would be like if it's one of our shows again, like I'm gonna start feeling really weird. Like, how are they predicting this? Eminence in Shadow would be a great one to put on because it's actually good, you know.
I was just glancing over the stuff like dub stuff on High dive that might be kind of the sort of thing they'd have. So those are just some guesses, but ultimately these are all guesses. We have no idea. They could go something, come do something that you would not expect at all for them to do. Maybe they'll announce, hey man, we're going to be doing, we got a special agreement with Hulu to show Go Go Loser Ranger, even though it isn't dubbed yet, I don't think. It hasn't aired yet. I don't know. I just wanted to pick the most random show I could think of. Anyway.
Sailor Moon.
What?
Sailor Moon.
You know, that's a possibility. They could do that there. I don't think they ever aired Sailor Moon Crystal, and that's, I guess, a possibility. For anyone wondering what those were, so Sailor Moon, the original anime was a fairly loose adaptation of the original manga because it had the problem, well, you can't get ahead of the manga, but the manga was monthly. So they added a ton of filler and padding, and which of course obviously made people like much more Monster of the Week and such. But it also did mean that some characters, especially some of the villains, got like their personalities much more expanded. And Sailor Moon Crystal was just more an adaptation of the original. Although I think I heard the animation for it wasn't that great. I don't know. I'm just talking about stuff I've heard. Okay. So I don't know. I'm sorry for spending all that time trying to make guesses. But, you know, now that I think about it, I'm going to say that I'm not actually going to choose something. Sorry. All right, moving on. So after that, we'll go to the stuff that's not on Toonami that we're watching. So we've got Shangri-La Frontier, episode 18. Before I get into the episode, just for the record, The first season has finished airing in Japan, and they announced that a second season is coming later this year in October. So we might check that out. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, though, in this episode, our characters are still going up against Weathermon and I can't remember the name of the big metal horse thing. But Sunraku's fighting Weathermon. The other two are fighting the big metal horse thing. Ultimately, they do a whole lot of fighting, but ultimately, they all manage to emerge victorious, barely survive all of it, and beat them. And that was, the episode really was just them fighting and managing to win. And although you can really say it was kind of low on plot, I thought this was really good. I really liked the fighting, and there were some good jokes there. I don't know, it was a very, very good action episode, and I was kind of looking forward to it because I heard a bunch of people beforehand say it was really good, and I thought it was really good. I don't know about you.
My problem with this show is that there are no real stakes to this game. It's just a video game, you know. And it's not like Sword Art Online, where it's like, you know, for all the problems that show had, at least it had a sense of urgency of, wow, if you die, then you die in real life. This is kind of like, okay, your character dies, then it's not like your life's over. It's just you didn't win the game. So I had a hard time getting interested in this whenever they're like, oh no, this is the last thing, and it's like, well, it's a video game. People lose at video games all the time, and I don't know, I just could not, I don't think I could get into this show because the premise, I think it's got great characters. I think it's got I mean, there's a lot of good things about the show. I'm just saying that I can't emotionally get attached to this show because I feel like it's all irrelevant. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I understand what you're saying, but I don't have a problem with that here because two reasons. One, they did try to like emphasize the fact that basically since they got all those items, spent all that time preparing for this, that if they fail this, then they're not going to be able to like do this again because they would have to go through all that preparation, all that time, all that stuff again. It's like a game where you do a bunch of preparation to take on a boss, and then if you don't accept, it'd kind of be like if you were going through a video game, you're going to go against a final boss, except if you lose, then you have to restart the whole game over. So
okay, I can see what you mean. Kind of like, this reminds me of a scenario I once had when I was playing Pokemon Gold, and I got to the Elite Four, and I was like completely unprepared for it. So I lost, and then I lost all that money, had to basically start over. So, okay, I can see that as a comparison.
Yeah, that was the thing. And the other thing is, the other factor is that even if it isn't like life or death, someone can say that about, you know, a sports series. Well, if they lose, then, you know, that's just it. They don't die. They at most, it might mean that they don't, like get like some special scholarship or whatever, but you can still get into those. So those are how I was able to get invested in this. I do think sometimes in Shangri-La Frontier, sometimes I do kind of have that problem where thinking, well, it's just a video game. But in this case, I think that they managed to set up the stakes enough with all of, like, the preparation they did, and as well as just the fights being good. So it all worked for me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any problems with it. I can't connect with the characters as well as I should.
Okay. All right. So then we move on to teen romantic comedy Snafu, episode 27. And in this episode...
Is this the first episode of the new season?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good. Just making sure I didn't screw up again.
Okay, so we have the... Okay, now maybe I missed something and I'm stupid, but the previous episode, the end of the season, last season, had the big cliffhanger in which I think Yukino was going to make a request, and we're like, oh, what is it? And did we actually get the request from her explicitly in this episode?
Nope.
Okay, because it felt like they talked a bunch about things, but they didn't actually get to an explicit request, and I was wondering if I missed something.
I missed it too, I guess.
Okay. So. Like, I don't know, maybe it was to like try to make things work better with their family or something? I don't know, maybe I missed it, maybe I'm... just dumb, but it was a little weird that they didn't just right away have it. Okay, so let's see. Let's go through episode as I recall. So they do that. They end up The big thing is that... Oh, man, I watched this a while ago, and I'm having trouble remembering it offhand.
It was a very slice-of-life episode. There was a lot of stuff of the main character hanging out with his sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm having trouble remembering specifics to say, because it was mostly just hanging out with her. And yeah, kind of weird to have a bunch of stuff about Yukino and then just kind of cut to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you still follow me on Twitter, but I tweet about anime a few times a week, and about this one, I tweeted that it's just like the first two seasons, where it starts out really, really slow. And you know, both those seasons got better at the end, but it took a very long time for them to get going. And now I feel like, great, it's going to be until the seventh episode of this season until I finally start liking this again. So, yeah, I wasn't impressed by this episode. I do think it's good to actually see a brother and sister get along with each other, because, like, that never happens in anime. So that's pretty good. But other than that, it just was too slow an episode for me.
The big problem that not a big problem. I was just, you mentioned the second season starting out bad. I don't actually agree with that. I thought the first few episodes were pretty good, and then it got bad once we suddenly started up with all the stuff of the student council. But I actually think the first few episodes were good, and then it just, you know, all that stuff happened. So yeah, we'll see how this goes in this final season. It's the final season, so I assume they managed to wrap things up. And I know it's not like just, or at least it shouldn't be one of those things where it's the final season because it was never renewed. It should be the final season because it's called, like, My Teenage Romantic Comedy Snafu Climax.
Yeah.
Unless there might be another season called My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu.
Denouement.
Well, actually, I was looking for the word epilogue.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else to say about it?
Nope, not really.
All right. Nope. Then we move on to Full Metal Panic Fumofu episode 10.
Okay, so this episode helps us know why it's called Fumofu, because that's all Bonta-kun can speak. And Sosuke goes inside the Bonta-kun costume. And this is so ridiculous. They have Kaname there. She's there as the interpreter. And somehow she can interpret everything Sosuke is saying. It doesn't make any sense, but it is hilarious. And basically, one of Kaname's friends, her father is part of the Yakuza club. I'm not sure what a Yakuza actually is, but
it's basically sort of the Japanese mafia.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get involved with that when I was overseas a year ago. But yeah, basically that's how they're, and what happens is Kaname gets kidnapped once again, and she even makes a comment about it. That was actually pretty good. Whenever she was like, why am I always getting kidnapped in these situations? So that was pretty good. Basically, then Sosuke gets the other Yakuza people into Bonta-kun's, and they carry out a mission as Bonta-kun's and go ahead and save Kaname and her friend. And then at the very end of the episode, you see Bonta-kun's now being used to fight crime overseas. So they're catching on, the Bonta-kun peacekeeping. this episode didn't make much sense, but that's kind of the point. And I just thought it was really funny. Like most weeks, this probably would have been my number one show of the week, but I don't think it's fair for me to rank it, so I don't rank it, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny also, although I am left wondering if they needed to have Kaname interpret, and yes, I was wondering, how does she know exactly what he's saying? If they needed that, how is he able to communicate to them to tell them to get the like other Bon-Takun outfits and put them on? Or did he just break character and start speaking like regular language then? One annoying thing about watching this dubbed is that there's a part where they actually put subtitles on to interpret what he's saying, except they don't subtitle the subtitles into English. I should have gone and probably pulled up the sub to see if they translated those there, but I think I was I didn't have the time when I watched it and I forgot. But yeah, that was a little. It's always a little annoying when they don't put on the subtitles for, you know, on-screen text. It wasn't like super important, but it might have been a little funny if to know exactly what he was actually saying. All right. So yeah, that's another funny one.
Yep.
All right. Lastly, we get Dark Gathering episode 5. So Kitaru decides that he wants to try to make friends, so he goes and I can't remember exactly what it was. Was it like the sort of like orientation for college or something like that? But
something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, however, what's her name? The girl who's not Yayoi. Let's just see. Was it, okay. I think that's, Aiko, I think is her name. She ended up putting, basically to watch what he's doing. She, gives him some glasses, except the glasses have a camera in them so she can watch it. She and, Yayoi end up looking that and for a little bit, basically doing an Endo and Kobayashi live in which they comment on what's going on. However, the bad news for Keitaro is that he goes off with some guys to do like some club stuff, but it turns out the guy's evil and he's possessed by a spirit and he's actually kidnapping him to try to kill him and some other people. The others, due to basically spying on him, do know what's going on, so they head there. They manage to save him and stop and defeat the spirit and get out. And he asks how they knew where he was, and they just say, "Women's intuition," and he buys it.
Yeah, pretty funny episode, but they took this a little too seriously, didn't they? You turn on the episode and it says, you know, if you need the. This is going to talk about suicide, so they were just crushing the buys. And then at the end of the episode, they have this big things like, if you're going to commit suicide, call this number. And I don't feel like this episode was pro-suicide or anything.
It was about a guy who was like tricking people into suicide, even like he was a bad guy.
So I was confused why they made a big deal about it. Like, oh, this episode's going to make you want to commit suicide. I don't know what they were, but they're probably required to now. And but I thought it was a pretty entertaining episode. I just have to say, whoever does Yayoi's voice is really talented and really good, because her voice is, I love how she's able to be monotone yet have emotions at the same time. I think that's a really unique thing to be able to do. So kudos to her. She does a great job. I'll have to figure out who that is eventually.
It's Natalie Real. She's Monica Real's sister.
Sister or daughter?
Sister.
Okay. I know that there's another voice actor whose daughter was Alexia from The Eminence and Shadow. But anyway, yeah, so a good episode, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it was decent. I do kind of think, I mean, maybe I'm asking too much too early, but I'm also thinking, okay, we should... I'm not saying they have to do it now, but I would like them to get into a bit more of a continuing plot, because so far it's kind of all just been, you know, ghost of the weeks. I'd like to see a little more of like a direct plot, but it's still good. It's still good. I don't think they were like trying to say that it was advocating suicide. The opening thing I think was just, you know, like the whole, hey, it'll contain things about that. So if you don't want to watch that, then don't watch. But it was a little weird to have, you know, the suicide hotline information at the end, but I guess you can just say, well, worst case scenario, it does nothing, and maybe it would actually do something. Although I legitimately wonder if anyone ever called it as a result of the episode.
It's like, I just watched an episode of The Dark Gathering, and I shouldn't laugh about it. I'm sorry.
It's I do know if you ever want to, I understand why these things are so. Let me try to think of the right way to say this. It is annoying, and I understand why they do it, because it maybe could save someone, but. Whenever you're trying to call something related to a hospital or something, you'll always get, you know, it's something like 30 seconds of it saying, if you are considering thoughts of suicide, call 911 or something like that. And you have to wait through it to like get to where you want to do. Like literally, for the answering machine I have at work, which I work in a hospital, not with patients or anything. It's more on like the documentation side of things. But we all had to, at the beginning of the sort of answering machine, saying if you are like entertaining thoughts of suicide, please do this. And then that means anyone who, before they can leave a message, has to listen to that. Again, I can understand. I wish there's a way to do it more quickly. Like, I don't know. I don't know, but it is a case, one of those things. I wonder what the statistics legitimately are on how many people call as a result of that sort of thing. But I don't know. All right. But jokes aside, if anyone listening to this is considering killing yourself, you really should call 911 or whatever the applicable number is to get help on that. All right. So that's, that's all of the shows, actually.
Yeah. So top three time?
Yeah. For me. So my top three would be, in looking at these, sure, let's say, well, sorry, Toonami, you didn't really make it this week. You've got I've got Dark Gathering in third, Full Metal Panic Fumofu in second, and Shangri-La Frontier in first.
Okay, so actually, Toonami wins the day here. At least it wins two out of three. It doesn't win the top spot. But One Piece is my third place pick. I just thought it was too unintentionally funny for me to let that go. I love unintentional humor. And second place, Zom 100. Yeah. I paid a lot of attention to it. So obviously, it was at least interesting. First place, though, was Dark Gathering, regardless of all that other stuff. Dark Gathering was my favorite of the week.
Okay. So, I actually had something, some things I wanted to make note of. I was actually thinking of talking about this, you know, a week or two ago, but didn't really have the time. But I figured I might as well do it because, so if you've been paying attention to things, you might have noticed that Funimation, their service, their site, it's now officially shut down. It was basically, they had basically kind of moved all the stuff over to Crunchyroll anyway because of the merger. But, you know, it's gone now. And some people who didn't like Funimation or like you can see them going, yeah, Funimation lost. Well, the actual truth of it is that the company formerly known as Funimation is actually now called Crunchyroll and is in charge of the Crunchyroll website. So, yeah, Funimation's still around. It's just under a different name. It is actually in charge of Crunchyroll now. That's basically, as far as I understand it, how they did the merger when Sony bought them both. So anyway, I just wanted to say, I guess they just put all the stuff on Crunchyroll because it had become the more recognizable brand, especially internationally. Anyway, the reason I bring all this up is I wanna is there's this bit, this comment I found. This is from back in 2008. This bit in let me just make sure I have the right URL that I think is pretty funny to look at in retrospect. Okay, so just a quick bit of history, because a lot of people might not know this. So when Crunchyroll first came out, it actually really, I think, was just a bunch of fan-subbed stuff, which, especially because they were making money off of it, I think how it worked was that if people paid, they would like get higher quality video or something, was sort of controversial. I think they were apparently, you know, willing to take stuff down if people asked them to, but it was, you know, a fan sub kind of a pirate site. Anyway, it ended up getting some like money from investors, went legit, and only started having the stuff they had legally obtained, got really popular eventually. Well, the current situation where it got purchased for, I think, about $1 billion by Sony, who then merged it with Funimation, like we mentioned there. And, you know, now it's like the most popular legal anime site by, you know, a mile. Anyway, with that, all that information in mind, I want to mention this one thing that I happened to find out, because this is obviously, we know all this stuff that I just described is how it played out. This, people didn't know that back in 2008, but this is what still one of the fun, really funny to look back at. Okay, so with all that wind up, basically this quote, so back in 2008 again, Crunchyroll got like about $4 million in venture capital funding. And if you don't know what venture capital funding is, it's what they do on Shark Tank, basically. But they were doing that even though they still had like, you know, fan sub stuff on it that wasn't really legal. So Funimation issued this. I'm looking at this old article on Anime News Network where they just said, Funimation has been carefully monitoring the activities of Crunchyroll.com for some time. Since 2006, Funimation has provided several letters notifying the site's operators of copyright infringement issues in connection with content that has been made available through the site. To date, Crunchyroll.com is complied with Funimation's demand to remove the applicable content. Okay, kind of boring stuff there so far, but that's okay. Here's where things get funny when you know how things played out. The battle against unauthorized distribution of anime is a battle that Funimation cannot fight on its own. Without proactive and effective copyright policing and enforcement by those that control anime content, sites like this will continue to gain a reputation as outlets for free anime. If this happens, the entire anime industry will suffer, making the expensive and time-consuming work of producing anime content for the U.S. market impossible. As we've stated before, we will continue to act in the best interests of our Japanese licensors, and that includes ensuring that our industry as a whole has a commercial future in the U.S. Oof. That's kind of funny to read in retrospect, isn't it? considering that was all about the basically the site that arguably reinvigorated anime by a lot. So
yeah.
Anyway, that was just a brief thing to note. Maybe I don't know if other people thought it was as funny as I did, but it is kind of amusing to see that when anime is basically more popular than it's ever been in the U.S. now.
Yeah. I remember going to conventions and all the voice actors would be hammering at you, buy the DVDs, as if the and HD DVDs. And so that was like the big thing everyone was talking about. That was the only way to save anime. And no one thought of the idea of streaming, which, you know, is obviously made anime more accessible than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Of course, Crunchyroll also bought out Right Stuff Anime, which I don't like, because Right Stuff Anime always had all these cool sales and all these great figures and stuff, and now it's just owned by the conglomerate of Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
So the Right Stuff had like a charm to it. Now it's just kind of like buy stuff here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, I'm not trying to like say, oh, Crunchyroll, they're the greatest guys ever. No, like there's a lot of stuff to criticize them for, you know, like a lot of people talk about how anime voice actor, well, the dubbed ones at least don't really get adequate compensation for what they do. And a lot of those criticisms I think are valid. I'm just saying it is a little funny to see them talk. And by the way, if someone wants to look at this article, it's on Anime News Network. It's called "Video Site with Unauthorized Anime Gets U.S. Dollar 4M Capital." It also has one. It also has a similar statement from. I'm sorry. Wait, hang on. I think that no, that's a different article I was looking at. I'm sorry. It's Funimation Bandai Entertainment Respond on Crunchyroll. That's the actual article. I apologize. It also gives a similar statement from Bandai Entertainment, which is also kind of funny because I think pretty much all their stuff is on Crunchyroll now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is interesting, setting that aside, that the streaming really did reinvigorate it. It almost, because I was actually looking into some of this stuff, and that anime like sort of streaming, or more accurate, not like streaming, simulcast is the big thing. And there's actually like an article on Wikipedia, list of anime releases made concurrently in the United States and Japan, and it really only started in 2008. Like the first ones were in spring 2008. There's Blast Writer and the Tower of Druaga, Aegis of Uruk. I'll be honest, I've never heard of those. But those were the first ones. If you look at the list, it's really mostly Crunchyroll doing simulcasts. The first season where you start seeing like, you know, more a decent amount of things is like where you start seeing like the bigger names is like spring of 2009, where you have like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood by Funimation, Naruto Shippuden by Viz Media, One Piece was done. Funimation. Here's one that most people won't recognize, but I know you will. Shangri-La.
Yep.
It was one of the first anime to be simulcast.
Wow.
So anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking a little about things that are boring to people, but I just thought it was interesting. I kind of almost feel like was there ever like a board meeting or something where someone said, "Okay, we're in trouble here because people aren't spending money on anime. They're all just going to the fan subbing sites because they can get the anime at any time they want, basically anywhere that's got an internet connection. And the things are available basically right after they air in Japan. How are we going to compete with this?" And maybe someone else said, "What if we just did that?"
Yeah. Shangri-La was one of the first simulcasts, and that's funny. I didn't see that until 2017, though. The only reason I even saw that was because of an ad on someone's YouTube video. So that was what got me to purchase the DVD, and then I fell in love with that show. But
Was it an ad like in the video itself, or was it one of those pre-video ads that YouTube puts in?
It was like a person doing a panel at a con, and he put in, and he was sponsored by Funimation, so he put in, he did his own ad.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a, at most ads you'll see now. It was a manual ad, you know, he did it himself, so.
Yeah, anyway, so that's our talk about that. Hopefully you found it interesting, and if you didn't, I'm sorry. All right, so there's my lengthy spiel. Do you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so my list of things that I'm watching has grown. I decided I was going to start out on Sailor Moon Crystal because I have Netflix thanks to T-Mobile, so...
And I talked a bunch about the show, too.
Yeah, I was going to say something, and I was just like, nah, I'll just wait. The first episode is kind of like the first episode of the show, but of the original anime, but not as good, in my opinion. I don't know. Something felt off about it. It's just like... It wasn't, I don't know, it didn't have the charm of the original series. Now, obviously, they're going a lot faster, but this episode didn't go much faster. So, I'm not going to give up on it. I just feel like it wasn't as good as I was hoping it to be. I'm still watching that show, Banished from the Heroes Party, and there's another show that has almost the same title. It's really weird. It's like Banished from something else, and I forget what it's called now.
Are you referring to this just started airing, The Banished Former Hero Lives As He Pleases?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that has a similar name. Anyway, I saw the third episode. It was pretty good. I guess it passed the 3-episode test. It's still a little too slicey of lifey for me, but it's still pretty good. And I watched Oshinoko again. I love this show, and might have to marathon through it because it's just too difficult to wait a week to watch the next episode. That's what I did with Shangri-La. I would watch like 5 episodes in one day and finish the show within a week, and then I loved it. So maybe I'll have to do that with Oshinoko. Of course, there's only 11 episodes in the first season, but and then finally, Cowboy Bebop live action episode 5. Oh boy. This episode starts with a flashback of Jet Black doing a mission because he was a cop. And what ends up happening is he's with this other guy, his partner, and they're doing this mission. And then when the mission ends up messing up, and there's someone who was a bad cop went and shot up Jet Black, and almost killed him and then got him sent to prison and all this stuff. Okay, now, do you remember all that happening in the anime? Because I don't. No, this is all like stuff they decided to make up. And it was so predictable. I knew this was happening from the beginning of the episode, that his partner, who he was all chummy with and friends with, having a good time, he was the one who betrayed him. It was so obvious. And so whenever it happened, it was like, yeah, that I saw that coming like a mile away. And then they have Spike and Faye on the Bebop, and all they do is just argue with each other for the entire episode. They don't go out on any quest or anything. They just argue. And and then there's more scenes with Vicious because they want to have a main enemy. But I don't know. I don't understand them. So basically, this show is a complete mess. And it's got a lot of problems. I now see why the guy who made Cowboy Bebop was like, yeah, this isn't my show. Because it isn't. And now, here's the thing. If it was like generic space show with nothing to do with Cowboy Bebop, I think it might actually be a pretty good show, but it's supposed to be Cowboy Bebop and it isn't. So yeah, just so many problems, and I'm only halfway through, so I gotta get through 5 more episodes of this. This is not one I'm gonna marathon. I'll go crazy at the end of the 5th hour. So, there you go. That's my reviews of the week.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to hear. One thing I remember I heard someone criticize it for before was that they thought the episodes felt too, like, long. Like, they thought that if the episodes were half the length and kind of, made things happen faster and cut out some stuff, it would be better. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, yeah. I mean, the original show, of course, had, you know, episodes that had to squeeze into a half-hour block, and these episodes were double that length, and not enough happens in them. So, yeah, I definitely feel that's something that could have been improved, but... yeah, that's another problem it's got.
Okay. All right, yeah. It's interesting to hear. I don't really have too much to say about shows I've been watching. Well, there have been a few, but I kind of want to, before I say anything about them, actually finish them. So.
Okay.
So we'll see if I finish some stuff. Of course, a new season of anime is starting, and that might get in the way of... that, so we'll see. But yeah, besides, I already used up all of my space of talking with me basically explaining a bunch of stuff just to get to what I was to a mildly amusing statement in retrospect.
It was good.
All right, that's it for anime then. So if you're just here for the anime, then that's all you're going to get of the anime. So you can shut it off now. We'll see if we might have a few things to say about The Amazing Race new episodes.
Yeah, so I finally have a favorite team, unfortunately. They're at the bottom. So I like Kasori and Charisma. I like their team. And unfortunately, they are the last team surviving going into this next week's episode. So you got to figure they're going to lose. I think that that one team that keeps winning has such an unfair advantage because they're going to all Spanish-speaking countries and the guy speaks Spanish. So that it's like such an unfair advantage. And sure enough, like my dad's like, oh, they're just going to go over, you know, to Europe or Asia, and then they won't be able to use it. And then at the end of the episode, it's like, we're going to Chile. And I'm like, great. So they're going to win another. They're going to win again. So, yeah. Otherwise, I don't think this season is nearly as good as the last one. So,
yeah, I kind of also, because this was filmed prior to the previous season. They just did them in reverse order because, as I understand, they decided they had these made as hour episodes, but then they decided, no, we want these to be an hour and a half. So then they had to, like, you know, recut all of them.
Right.
And aired the next one in the meantime, which kind of makes me wonder if they had these done as hour episodes, maybe that kind of affected it adversely. Because you can do it, doing an hour and a half long episode, nothing wrong with that. But I don't know exactly how they did it. Maybe they decided to completely recut it from scratch, or maybe they just took the hour episodes and then took extra stuff and put them in to bring it up to an hour and a half. If that's the case, then that might explain some issues, because it's almost like, obviously, since this is stuff that happened, you can add it in and you'll see more. But because it's being added to what was already, if that's the way they did it, I don't know if that's how they did it. But if that's how they did it, then it would be kind of almost like what you see in, say, One Piece, where they just have to add stuff in there to make it longer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I didn't realize until you mentioned it. Yeah, that the Spanish, they have all been Spanish countries so far. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a season a while ago. It was quite a while ago. I can't give you the number, but I know they spent something like three legs in China. Which is funny because there was actually a team that knew Chinese fluently, and they only managed to get at first place, I think, in one of them. Like, one was like saying, one like said something at some point like, if we don't do better, we'll disgrace our families. The funniest part, though, was one of the tasks was you were supposed to be at this Chinese restaurant, and someone would like give you the order, and you had to go and tell the chefs that. Now, if you don't know Chinese, of course, you just have to memorize the sounds and repeat it to them, and that's the hard part. But they knew fluent Chinese, so they went there, took the order, went to the chef, and they got it wrong. Mm. If you, which is proof positive, Chinese is a hard language.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I'm sure with accents and stuff, there's some people that if they were speaking English, I wouldn't be able to say what they thought. And it did only take them two tries, but I still found that a little funny. I think, if I remember correctly, that was the leg they won, but I'm not 100% sure they won the leg. I think they did, but unfortunately, I'm going by things that like would have been like, I don't know, 10 years ago or longer, and I can't say the exact stuff, but I do remember that was the case in one season. I wonder if they're all in, if this is just a case, because COVID was still going on at this point, so I wonder if that just, that's why you can see so many bunch of people wearing masks in this season, which makes me wonder if maybe there's, if maybe they're doing all this stuff in South America for like reasons that was like the easiest countries to do them in at the time or something.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I don't really have too much to add to that then. So, oh, wow. I'm looking. Oh, so they're going to chill. I'm looking at a list of upcoming legs. Oh, wow. If you're talking about there being a lot of Spanish, next time they're going to Chile, after that they're going to Argentina.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, they're also going to, let's see, they're going to Barbados. That's okay. That's not a Spanish country. But apparently, they also are going to the Dominican Republic at some point.
Wow. And
that is Spanish, I think. Yeah, that's Spanish.
Yep.
So
wow, that team has a huge advantage. Huge advantage. What do they speak in Barbados?
In Barbados, I'll double check. It says the official language there is English, but the vernacular language is it pronounced Bajan or Bajan? I don't know. Bajan Creole. Creole? I feel dumb. I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced. But that's like more spoken. Normal English is used like more in print and stuff. But so it's kind is, you know, it's a Creole language. I think that's how it's pronounced. I apologize if I'm getting it wrong, which means that it's kind of English derived, but still sort of a different language. Mm-hmm. But you've got that. I don't know about all the other legs. Basically, yeah, let's see. I'm just looking at this one. Yeah, so it looks like, yeah, we are going to be having a bunch more Spanish. So, yeah, that's, I guess Spanish is a useful language to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get better at it. I'm not perfect. Well, I can, like, at least, I mean, I can, at this point, I've gone through enough. I can, like, watch a subtitled anime episode with Spanish subtitles and usually don't have to pause it much at all to, like, look things up or go through things. I've gotten a lot better at that. Like, when I started that, like, I think, I don't know, a year or two ago, I was, like, having to constantly pause and look up words and things, and now I can just do it a lot better. You know, if you want to learn, it's obviously, it has its limitations because of the fact that it's just specifically like subtitles, and that just means you only get sort of sampling of subtitles, by which I mean like, well, I'll get that. Basically, that's actually not a bad way to try to learn another language. You obviously want to know it at least kind of before this, but to practice it, like pull up an anime you like, and if the subtitles are on, for it are on whatever you're watching. Like Crunchyroll usually has, let's see, German, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, French, Russian, Thai. They have, it's so weird. There's a bunch of shows that have Thai dubs, but no English dub. Arabic, I think, and maybe some other things. And I think Netflix has even more. So, you know, you could just watch an anime and just put the subtitles in the language you want to learn and give that a go. Now, it will only admittedly help you for the kind of languages you see specifically in anime. Like, obviously, there's a lot of words you'll see in a print book, but won't be seeing in subtitles and such. But it's still a good way to, like, get used to things and try to get some vocabulary. And the best thing is, if you don't know what it means, just switch it to the English subtitle and compare.
Mm-hmm.
On the downside, that's not going to help you to learn Japanese, which is what I'm sure a lot of people who watch anime want. To do that, I guess you just have to, because at least you'd have to, you know, do it more on listening. So watch it subbed in English or something and try to listen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that is our episode. I think that's everything I wanted to talk about. And until... yep, nothing else to say. We will see you next time.
Bye.